of September, the company must take action against people who violate the updated guidelines, which reject all forms of discrimination, including sexism, racism, and anti-Semitism, including rejecting Israel's right to exist as a state, Haaretz reported. DW in February fired 7 Arab staff members following an investigation into alleged anti-Semitism in the media outlet's Arabic news section. The broadcaster came under fire from both pro-Palestine activists and free speech campaigners. 3 of the staff members, however, have been reinstated following court orders. Most recently, a Berlin labor court ruled last week that DW was not legally justified in firing Palestinian-Jordanian journalist Farah Maraga over the anti-Semitism allegations. There has been controversy in recent years over the definition of anti-Semitism, with critics of the Zionist regime saying it weaponizes it to silence any criticism of its continued occupation of Palestinian territory and persecution of Palestinians. According to Al Jazeera English, in February 2022, 2 Palestinian German journalists have been fired from their jobs at German broadcaster Deutsche Welle a week after the news organization let go of 5 of its Arabic service staff. The dismissal of Deutsche Welle's Arab employees came after an external inquiry said Zahi Alavi and Yasser Abu Malik published social media posts back in 2014 that were, as they described, anti-Semitic, based on the International Remembrance Alliance controversial extended definition of anti-Semitism. Critics have said that IHRA definition is an affront to freedom of speech and is used to muzzle any criticism of the Zionist regime's policies and occupation against the Palestinian people, and equates anti-Zionism with anti-Jewish prejudice. The social media post in question referred to Facebook posts by Alavi and Abu Malik that had condemned the Zionist regime's offensive on the blockaded Gaza Strip in 2014. More than 2,200 Palestinians were martyred, including 551 children and 299 women, in the Zionist regime's offensive in Gaza Strip that had drawn global condemnation. The inquiry was led by German Justice Minister Sabine Leuser and psychologist Ahmad Mansour. On February 7th, the inquiry concluded its findings into the original 5 journalists under investigation who were suspended from DW in early December. The probe found that although there was no evidence of a structural anti-Semitism within Deutsche Welle, the 5 journalists were guilty of anti-Semitism. Basil Al-Aridi, Muaref Mahmoud, Maram Salim, Farah Maraga, and Dawood Ibrahim were suspended. Were fired on February 7th, the same day the 2-month external inquiry was released. They said they were not given a chance to defend their case or contest the inquiry's findings. One of the journalists, Salim, who was fired for a Facebook post criticizing freedom of speech in Europe, told Al Jazeera her dismissal is a career assassination. According to a Rights Monitor, a review of the inquiry found that its analysis pushed for a one-sided pro-Zionist narrative.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Brother Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma, my guest speakers in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thank you for having me.
Welcome. And Sister Asma, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam, I hope everyone is doing well, and thank you for having me.
Welcome. Well, we are talking about and criticizing the movie June, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve. Starring, of course, very famous actors and actresses from Hollywood like Timothy Chalamet and Rebecca Ferguson. But before me asking you the questions regarding the critique of this movie that we've started, in fact, from two episodes ago onward, let's take a short listen to a short part of this movie, June, and we'll be back with this question. Don't go away.
Extreme temperatures and treacherous weather events make life outside the cities of Arrakis truly hostile. With sandstorms powerful enough to cut through metal, only the native tribes known as the Fremen have adapted well enough to survive. Preferring to inhabit the remotest regions of Arrakis, the Fremen share the deep desert with the giant sandworms, known to the Fremen as Shai Hulud. Long exposure to spice has given the tribe their characteristic blue eyes, the eyes of Ibad. Little else is known of the Fremen, except that they are dangerous and unreliable. Fremen attacks make spice harvesting extremely hazardous. For the Fremen, spice is the sacred hallucinogen, which preserves life and brings enormous health benefits. For the Imperium, spice is used by the navigators of the Spacing Guild to find safe paths between the stars. Without spice, interstellar travel is impossible, making it by far the most valuable substance in the universe.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. We are criticizing the movie June, produced in 2021. It's an American, epic science fiction movie directed by Denis Villeneuve. Well, Sayyid Abdullah, there are so many familiar terms used in this movie, like Arrakis. When I heard these names, yeah, or proper nouns, basically, sandstorms, deep desert, sandworms called Shai Hulud, native tribes, spice, Ibad, all of the things, in fact, reminded me of a place, the Middle East.
Okay.
Well, don't you have the same impression like me?
Well, it's not an impression. The reality is the whole novel was based on the Messiah, which they quote twice in the movie, his name being Al-Mahdi.
Right.
The second novel by Frank Herbert, or whatever his name was, The second novel is called The Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And the third, I think, is The Children of the Messiah. So it's all relating to the Messiah. Now, the Messiah is a concept in all religions, but it takes...
Has it been mentioned in Bible?
The Messiah?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. The return of the Messiah.
And it means savior.
Yeah. So Messiah is a savior. So, but each religion, even if you go back to the Zardushians and even before them, every civilization believed in the Messiah. Even if you go to Aristotle himself, he wrote the book, The Utopia.
Yeah.
He referred to him as a Superman.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that they all have this concept of the Messiah coming back in time.
We're going to get back to this concept and ask around this question.
I'm not going to go in depth into that, but I just wanted to have that as a backbone.
Right.
So they all believed in the Messiah. Now, what happened is this novel was written based on the Mahdi, which is the only religion that we have that gave so much details about the Mahdi and the events of the Mahdi is Islam. So you see that all the names which are in the movie are actually Arabic names. All the terms that you just spoke about, all Arabic terms.
Mm-hmm.
Arrakis is an Arabic name.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
Let's try to decode that name.
Yeah. Isn't it Iraq?
Exactly. No. That gives that connotation of Iraq.
Araq means literally a sweat. Or sometimes it's a liquid. There's a beverage called araq made from wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's nothing related to araq or sweat to a planet.
But the phonology gives you the connotation of araq.
Yeah, but I thought about that, but it didn't go there. So go in depth. Arraqas in Arabic. Arraqas means a dancer. Arraqs or raqas.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
What's the relationship between Raqs dancing to Arrakis, which is in the movie? So you have to keep in mind that when they pronounce it, they pronounce it in English, not in Arabic.
Yeah, true.
But the term is Arabic. Now, Iraq is an Arabic word for Iraq.
But they call it Iraq. So Arrakis and Iraq are just the same.
Let me get to the point. Go back to Iraq was founded by whom? By the Sumerians, right? As we call them, As-Sumeriyun.
Yes.
Sumerians, they had their own language, which wasn't Arabic. It was a Sumerian.
Yeah.
Sumerians, they used to call Iraq, Arrakis.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nice.
So that's it.
So Arrakis is Iraq.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
Right? Because the word Arrakis itself is a Sumerian word for Iraq, which we call Iraq today.
True.
So Arrakis, the actual name of Iraq itself, but in the Sumerian language.
And the palm trees. And the desert.
No, the whole story, like I said, because you have to understand the series of novels that he wrote was based on the Mahdi himself. So he would have to use terms used by his time, by the time where the Mahdi is, right? So they called it Arrakis because it's Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
He did not want to say Iraq itself because he wanted to keep an element of, an element of mystery.
Yes.
If he names his names, because you have to understand, this novel was written for English speakers. And English speakers, let's say 99.9 of them, they have no clue of the Islamic history of the Islamic Messiah or the Mahdi. So when they read these names, to them, it's exotic names.
Mm-hmm.
So when they hear Arrakis, they're like, okay. If he says Iraq, then everyone says, oh, that's a country. So he doesn't want the reader to the viewer to understand as Iraq. So I said, you know, the best thing to do is to refer to by its original name, which is Arrakis.
Yes.
Right.
So he called it Arrakis. So you see, these terms are actually Arabic terms. Like even the worm itself, the worm, the sandworm is called
Shay Hulud.
The Shahud means Shay al Khulud.
Yeah. Shay al Khulud, yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Think of eternity. So every term is used, it's actually Arabic terms and has meanings.
Yeah.
To the point that even Wikipedia made an entire page to all the terms in that movie. And it's a long one too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because each word has a definition.
Mm-hmm. True.
Deliberately they have been put like that.
Not deliberately.
But when as a Muslim you watch
the story is based on
pretty much different from when a Western person watched that.
Right.
Exactly, when me and you watch it.
It has been created for us more than them.
No, it's actually created for them, not for us.
How come?
Because we
already
know these
things. They don't know anything about these things.
Because we know these things. They see, one of the themes about this movie is, I was asking myself, why wasn't this movie successful back in the day? Like, since the first movie was made in 1984 until now, and all the attempts were made was not successful. Because the mind of the people in my generation and the generation before us, it was set on just a plot,
right,
of an action thing or a love theme or something, and straightforward. The notion of families having wars with one another wasn't something that the mindset of people back then were attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like it. But come to 2010 and plus and above and to our time, this theme became like very something that people like. For example,
central.
Like, you know, why did GOAT, what do they call it? A lot of Thrones. What was
Game
it
of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Game what of was Thrones. It so appealing to people? It's all about tribes. It's all about people killing themselves and family names. And they, you know, the house of this and the house of that.
Yeah,
and then the Vikings came and all these things came and was very successful because the mindset of people
has changed.
Has changed.
And they're more ready to get these.
Exactly. So when he came with the house of this and the house of that, people already knew this kind of thing and they liked it. So you have three houses fighting over power.
Yeah.
That's what people actually love and like. So he deliberately used that. It wasn't successful back then because of that mindset.
Yeah.
Now that mindset has changed. People.
The mindset is changed. Yeah. Quality is changed. Exactly. Directing is changed.
So, exactly. So when you talk about families having war over, you know, over something, then it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, invest in the intertextuality of the movies.
Exactly.
Involved. Yeah. Okay, let's take a short break by listening to another part of this movie, June, producing 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve, and then we'll be back. Don't go away. Stay with us.
I need you by my side. When we get to Arrakis, we'll face enormous danger.
What danger? Fremen? Desert?
Political danger.
Back to the program, Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. With me, Mama Jawad, hosting this program, and Sister Asma and Brother Sayyid Abdullah helping me as guest speakers in the studio. Criticizing the movie June, producing 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve. Sister Asma, you know, the one of the major characters in the movie, in fact, or actors, says that when we got to the Arrakis, you know, we'll face the environment danger, the danger of the Fremen, that tribe in the desert. Are they suggesting that there is a war between the East and the West? By East, mind you, we see, or we can
the
put
war,
in something like that, the Middle East.
Yes, exactly.
Because they are all focused on the Middle East.
Yes.
And then they say, they talk about, like, they introduce the, or inject the idea and notion of danger. There's danger in the desert.
Yes, at the very beginning of the movie, when the boy, Paul, is studying about the Fremen and the Arrakis, he comes to this line in which it says, the Arrakis people have got those strange eyes.
Arrakis.
Yes, the color of their eyes is totally blue. And then also they are dangerous people and unreliable. And as we just talked about the Arrakis, it happens to be somewhere in the Middle East. Therefore,
Iraq, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. Therefore, they are referring to Muslim people in general. You know what I mean? So they are unreliable, they're dangerous, and they do wars. Because in some other parts of the movie, we see that he says that if you want to get that thing back, a weapon he had, you have to fight and to kill. So according to them, we are warlike peoples, and if we accept someone inside of us, he or she has to do fights and wars and bloods in the middle. That would be the way for them to get accepted by us. So I would think that they exactly are referring to special sort of people, and those people are dangerous. That's what they are trying to make of us to all the world. Islamic Muslim people are just dangerous people. They're warlike and they're fierce and things like that. And they're very strange. As you see them, you are really, they have this very a horrible face with those blue eyes.
In light of the questions that I had before, or we discussed before in earlier part of this episode, and we talked about some of these key concepts such as Arrakis, the desert, the storm, you know, the sandworm, Shai-Hulud, and stuff like that, you know. Why do you think they still focus on this part of the world? Like, we
because of the
see
spice.
So many.
Because of the spice.
And the spice doesn't get to be the oil
exactly,
of Iraq or something
whether
quite
it's
similar?
The oil or whatever benefit that this land has. because speaking of Judaism, we would come to the land of Palestine. That also that land has been promised to be the land of all the benefits in the world. It is all green and it is very...
you mean the land of milk and honey's promise to the Jews?
Yes, yes, exactly. So they think of Middle East as a place where all the benefits are there available for them. So they only have to find a way to get into this place and create a kingdom.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much for your nice answer. Thank you, my dear listeners, to the program Viewpoint. On IRIB English Radio, we try to criticize the movie June. Of course, we haven't finished yet, and hopefully we are going to do so in the upcoming episodes. From me and the rest of the crew, we say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Salam, and how about a thought-provoking aphorism from Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him, the elder grandson and second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. One who lacks intelligence has no decorum, and one who lacks determination has no magnanimity, and one who has no modesty has no religion.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With the light.
Japanese plastic food artisans are showcasing their mouth-watering artificial creations at an exhibition in Japan's capital city, Tokyo. From the Leaning Tower, a pizza, to fish slicing and cooking, or even the quirky stacked pancakes, you can find almost everything at the exhibit. Other sculptors, including a deep-fried shrimp with full-breaded legs scaling a mountain of shredded cabbage like a tiger. Another creation on display is a Tetris game made of chicken. Plastic food artists get really excited for the exhibition each year as they are given a chance to practice their own spin on creativity, bringing food to life with curious characters.
So normally we have to follow orders from clients. We take their views on board when we're making items. Normally that's our work. But for the competition, you can use your imagination. How it finally ends up is totally up to you. I like that aspect of it.
There are some 60 sculptors on display. Some are silly, but others highlight the artist's skills. The models were made with the same careful detail as the rock-solid noodle soups and crispy-looking plastic snacks. on display outside Japanese restaurants. There is a lucrative business for them in Japan.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. They're back as India has revealed or released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The 8 radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India, covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths, and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40. World Cleanup Day unites millions of volunteers, governments and organizations to tackle the global waste problem and build a sustainable world. People in several countries joined the efforts again for a waste-free world. Volunteers were seen in mangrove forests in the suburb of Bangkok. They collected more than 1.5 tons of rubbish in just a few hours. Trash picking events were also held in the Philippines and Vietnam. In Hanoi, hundreds, mostly students armed with metal tongs and sacks, walked along major roads. They said their aim is to raise awareness about protecting the environment. In Manila, people cleaned up the city's beaches that are major tourist attractions. The annual cleanup day has been running for over a decade. From divers collecting marine debris to children picking up trash on beaches have just one goal: make our planet a cleaner place.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon and the 15th day of the eighth month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice, and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals. Most of the time, you have to visit an exhibition to see art. But what if art comes to see you instead? Well, a group of artists in Mali have created a floating art venue that will travel up and down the River Niger. It's called the Pirogue du Zem, which is a floating vessel. It's designed to host plays, exhibitions, dance shows, and so much more. The idea is to make art a movable feast that is no longer restricted to fixed venues in cities and accessible to all people. The project was created by a local artist and architect who had a vision to bring art to the masses. The vessel is 20 meters long and 6 meters wide, built with storage and enough space for exhibition. Government officials say the floating venue will showcase Mali's talents and creativity while attracting tourists.
Colombia is known for its tourist attractions and is full of breathtaking natural sights such as beaches, mountains, deserts, and forests. The South American nation is also one of the few places that give tourists the chance to have an encounter with whales. Every year, from July to October, domestic and foreign tourists flock to Colombia's Pacific coast to catch a glimpse of humpback whales. The large animals reach the coast after traveling thousands of kilometers from Antarctica and southern Chile. But for visitors, there are strict rules to help preserve the area and the whales. Tourists are now being welcomed for whale watching after a two-year hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. This is also the time when humpback whales start their reproductive process. Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodile seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about mockery in the view of Islam, so I invite you to be with us.
Of blue upon my eyes with a thankful heart. Today is another brand new start. I feel so positive. Just wanna do my best and show this world I'm living in all of the love that I can give.
Yeah, I'm
many things that I can do. Many things, yeah. That can make me feel so close to you. My heart when I'm loving, 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 loving you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Today, Friday, is the 26th of Safar 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 1st of the month of Mehr 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar. And the 23rd of September 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Mu'minun verses 109 to 110.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إنه كان فريق من عبادي يقولون ربنا آمنا فاغفر لنا. يقولون ربنا آمنا فاغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت خير الراحمين.
Indeed, there was a party of my servants who said, Our Lord, we have believed, so forgive us and have mercy upon us, and you are the best of the merciful.
فاتخذتموهم سخريا حتى أنسوكم ذكري وكنتم منهم تضحكون.
But you took them in mockery to the point that they made you forget my remembrance, and you used to laugh at them.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
If the relations between members of society were based on sympathy, cooperation, and mutual assistance, and they benefited from each other's skills, arts, and labor, then society would develop, become stronger, and most of its problems would be solved. But if social relations are mainly based upon humiliation, disenfranchisement, discrimination, and hopelessness, such a society will forget Allah and decline.
From the wind to the trees, to the buzzing of the bees, Ya Rabbil Alameen, your creation is a dream. From the stars to the moon, your dominion is so vast, yet your beauty isn't seen. Ya Rabbi, please accept my prayer. Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahmanu Ya Rahim, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahmanu Ya Rahim. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. عليه صلاة الله عليه بركة الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركة الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله
Speaking about mockery in the view of Islam. Islam gives immense importance to the rights of people. Hurting someone physically, emotionally, or mentally is a great sin in the eyes of Allah and will be dealt by Him alone in this world and the hereafter or Akhirah. We as Muslims should be very careful of our words and actions that could hurt others. In our lives, we come across many people who turn out to be toxic and oppressors in any way. They can be parents, relatives, in-laws, spouses, siblings, friends, or any other relation. And we might feel oppressed and do not have the courage of saying no.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. Making fun of people from Islamic perspective. Parenthetically, it must be indicated that some hypocrisy is a widespread defect in many, many communities. For example, an industrial company that spreads news here and there that, for example, the goods that we produce is the best one. The goods that we produce are the best ones of the best quality, while in reality you find that the products, are not good or are not as good as they make people believe. This is, of course, a kind of hypocrisy, and it should be avoided. Another one is that some people who take pleasure in committing sins and being indulged in committing sins, and not only, deteriorating their own lives, but also threatening the lives of other people in order to deteriorate their lives, they are among those people who come to make fun of true believers. Because of these indications, we find that in the Holy Quran, there are many indications to avoid making fun of other people. Parenthetically, it must be indicated that from here and there, throughout the Holy Quran, there are many indications, but if you check the Surah Al-Hujurat and the Surah Luqman in the Holy Quran, you can find ample examples. In the Surah Al-Hujurat, you find that there are very straightforward instructions in this regard. However, in the Surah Luqman, within the story of, within the account of Luqman, or the sage Luqman, you can find that Luqman instructs his son. Indications of the instructions we receive from Luqman shouldn't be regarded as just a historical evidence. Rather, it must be indicated, those instructions should be regarded as social teachings for all people in all communities. Thank you.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Here in this part, punishment for hurting others in Islam. Hurting others is an open sin in Islam. The one who has oppressed someone or hurt them in any way will not be able to get away with his bad deeds. Allah is all-knowing and He sees everything. He will be bankrupted on the Day of Judgment, even if he had fasted and prayed endlessly, because Allah takes into account the violation of rights of His servants. His good deeds will be transferred to the oppressed, and he will remain empty-handed. When we hurt our fellow Muslim brothers, this comes under violation of rights of people. If the person that we have hurt forgives us, then only we can ask for Allah's forgiveness, provided our repentance is pure and sincere.
I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home, it's here with me. I'm here with you. Now let me let you know. You've opened my heart. I was always thinking that love was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along. Oh.
Come here to see how to stop people from mockering. One way is giving a witty comeback. A sick burn is a great way to turn the tables on those mocking you. This tells them that you are above their comments and makes them look bad in the process. a clever comeback sense, the message that you are not an easy target and there are consequences for messing with you. Say something like, "Wow, did you come up with that all by yourself?" Or, "Pardon me, but you seem to think that I care." Act like it did not happen. This is another way to stop people from mocking. Blowing off those mocking fun of you takes away much of their power over you. This demonstrates that you are above their comments and that they have not impact on you. This is only takes you out of the immediate situation, but also undermines the bully's ability to further ridicule you. Try to walk away confidently and calmly. This will convey to the people mocking you that their words have not hurt you.
A scholar wrote a book, and there is a beautiful story in that book. He says, "I was during my residency in my medical school, they assigned me to one of the villages in Egypt, remote villages, during my residency. So one day, the local clinic received a call, emergency call. So he said, I boarded the ambulance with the driver. We were heading to the house where we received the call from it. The house was in the middle of the farms. At that time, there were no many cars. And when people saw cars, especially kids, what would they do with these cars? Huh? You remember from your childhood, what happens to these cars? Huh? Some of them, they run after the cars. Others are more generous. They throw stones. Yeah, I've seen this. Because this is something strange invading their territory, their land. So they start throwing stones. So he says those kids, they started throwing stones. The windshield broke. So the driver of the ambulance, rather than going to that house to save the life of the patient, he diverted and he went into a side road chasing those boys. I said to him, "Listen, we have a mission here. There is a guy who is about to die. I have to get myself there. Leave those kids. Leave them alone. If you want to chase those kids, we are going to fail in our mission. Focus on your mission. Don't care about what people do. This is our journey in this life. In this life, we have to focus on our mission. There are many people who criticize us, who do not like us. They don't want to see us in this country. Should we pack and go? Should we sit at home and then always remember what X man said to me, what Z man said, what this, what that? You are not going to be able to focus on your life, on your work, on your mission. You failed. You failed. So God said to the prophet, "Wa'arif anil mushrikeen." Turn away from them. Ignore them. They are not going to stop. They are not going to stop their attacks on you. Wa'arif anil mushrikeen. The best thing is just to ignore them, don't listen to them, and don't let them distract you from your main mission.
That was all for today's special. We were speaking about mockery in the view of Islam. So, inshallah, we'll continue this interesting topic. Till then, God bless all of you, and we'll leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio.